Today on Marian McPartland's Piano Jazz, we pay tribute to pianist Ray Bryant, who passed away in June 2011 at age 79. We revisit a program from 1982 that begins with Ray's special arrangement of Take the A Train.
Thank you, Ray Bryant.
You're welcome, Marian McPartland.
What a wonderful way to start the show. That's a real rouser. That's your arrangement of A-Train.
Yeah, a little boogie-woogie thrown in and a little stride. And
so a little of everything.
A couple of train whistles and so forth.
That's really nice. That must absolutely knock people out in the club.
They seem to like it, yeah.
I would think so. Where have you been playing lately?
Well, I'm just coming off of a four-week vacation.
Right well, now. You're certainly starting out with a finger buster.
Yeah, well,
get you back in shape in a hurry.
A little rusty. Yeah. Well, that was a little workout.
A little rusty. If that's rusty, I'd like to hear you when you're unrusty.
But I just took 4 weeks off and went nowhere. I just stayed around Philadelphia there, and
that's your home, isn't it?
Slept in my own bed and watched my own TV set. So, well, yes, that's home.
What's the name of that town where you live? I can't pronounce it.
I live right
it.
Outside of Philadelphia. It's in a little small place called Ballakinwyd, which is an outskirt of Philadelphia.
But that's a Welsh name town, isn't it?
I don't know.
At least by the way it's spelled.
I don't know. It's either Welsh or Indian. It could be Welsh, yeah.
It sounds like a very far away place. I mean, it sounds like it's out of the city.
No, actually, it's right across the city line.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I just pictured
I'm
that.
I'm one as half block out of Philadelphia.
Oh, I sort of pictured that as a very rustic area, you know, right out
well,
in the
I live on a cute little street, and the houses are, they're like row houses, you know, Philadelphia style row houses. Mm-hmm. And I had occasion to go in that area once to for something, and I parked on this street. And I remember saying to myself, if I ever moved back to Philadelphia and had to buy a house, I'd like it for it to be on a street like this. And as fate would have it, somebody was selling a house at the radio station where my girl works. And sure enough, it was right on that street. And so that's where we live.
That's what they call serendipity, isn't it? Something like that. Or being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
I envy you. That sounds very nice. Like a very nice place to be. And away from all the hustle and bustle, you can go home and, as you say, sit in front of your own TV set, play your own piano.
It's really away from the hustle and bustle. Sometimes it's a little too far away. You know, sometimes on a slow night, I go out the back of my house and look up and down the street and nothing happening. On nights like that, sometimes I just get in my car and come straight to New York.
And sit in or play somewhere?
Just go and hear somebody play. Just go around where there's no music and other sounds.
You've written a lot of pieces. And I remember an album of yours a few years ago that you made in at the Montreux Festival. And I think it had a piece on it called Slow Freight. It was one of the pieces on that album, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Could you play that for us?
That's a little blues song dedicated to a train, a slow train.
Okay.
Okay.
Slow train to Philadelphia?
Or from Philadelphia to New York.
Right.
Either way. Thank you.
Slow Freight. Boy, that thing has a lot of excitement in it, though. When did you write that?
Somewhere in the 60s. We did it, it was first in, on a Cadet recording. And the title, the name of the album was Slow Freight. And it was sort of a hit, too.
It was. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I had that record at one time, but I made the mistake of lending it to somebody. Not a very good thing to do.
Not a record that you want.
When did you start playing? How long have you played all your life?
Just about. I've played all of my life except for 6 years.
You mean the first six?
The first six I didn't play. I started on the seventh. Yeah.
Well, what happened? Did you play by ear, or did your folks give you? Have you?
Well, let's see.
Piano lessons.
My father worked for a company, and the boss of the company gave him a piano. He had one that he wasn't using, so my father brought it home, and we all banged on it. There were quite a few kids. We all banged on it, and my mother couldn't afford to give everybody piano lessons, so she had to decide which one. And she told me that she decided on me because I used to, well, she played piano, you know, gospel, mm-hmm. in church and so forth. And she said, I used to sit down and play things right after her, you know, things that she had played. I don't really remember all this, but she said I should do this, and she said that I was the one that should go and take the lessons.
Well, your mother was obviously very, very observant, and she seems she did the right thing, didn't she?
Well, I thank her for it.
It's funny because there is a very gospel-y flavor to your playing, a lot of the things you do. Not everything, but some tunes, like mm-hmm. that one. And even A-Train, I think, isn't there?
I would imagine so. Some people say that my style is sort of rooted in the blues, and that's a good place to have roots, I guess. If you're gonna,
it is, as a matter of fact. But it's, as you say, it's a very good place to mm-hmm. have roots. There's one chord in there that you play that knocks me out every time you would play it. You play an A major. I love that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but not everybody does it. Just
well, there's no rhyme or reason for it. It's just
but
that,
it just gives
that
it a
sounds
flavor.
Good there, and it sounds good there, and it's sort of startling.
You just play a little bit of that, so I can people say, you know, huh? What is she talking about? Just play a wee bit where that chord comes, or one chorus or something.
Unexpected.
No, but it's nice. It just gives it a little different. Yes. In fact, I was while we were talking before, and you were running through some chord changes, and I was trying to think of a duet tune to play. This one coming up, Lady Bird. Played it. You played some interesting harmony on there. Could we do that together? And
yes.
Maybe have you started out so I can...
I will try to follow you. It's been a lot of years since... That's one of the first bebop tunes, right?
It is. Tad Dameron.
Playing gigging around Philadelphia, that was like a standard. Yeah.
I think that's pretty much of a standard everywhere, although they don't play it too much nowadays, or as much as they used to, do they?
No, they don't.
They should. It's such a nice tune.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Well, that worked out all right, didn't it?
Could have been worse.
See, those were the chords I was talking about. I almost stopped playing so I could listen to what you were doing there. Because
I was doing the same thing.
There's 9,000 different changes, and you know, I heard some very nice different
ones. There's so many different ways to go.
Aren't there?
Yeah.
On every tune, even.
Everybody plays it differently, you know. Different. I mean, it all starts and ends up in the same place, but
yeah.
But there's so many different ways to go.
Everybody has their own little things, different things that they acquire or decide to put in, or things that happen as you go along.
Yes.
Sort mm-hmm. of instant composing, changing the tune around. Mm-hmm. You've made a lot of albums, not necessarily for Pablo, but hundreds of albums, haven't you?
I've been on quite a few different labels. Been around the horn and back, started out with Epic, Columbia, Prestige, so forth.
Well, have you worked much with bigger groups, like or in a big band at all in earlier years?
Well, no. I played with two big bands in my career. Once with Dizzy Gillespie back in the late 60s.
I'd forgotten about that.
I was with his band for about 3 months.
Yeah?
Yeah, that came about kind of in a sort of strange way. Dizzy was working at Birdland. And Junior Mance was playing with the band. So I went by one night, and something had delayed Junior or something. I don't know what happened. So I went downstairs, and so Dizzy saw me and said, come on. Junior's on here. So anyway, make a long story short, I stayed for about 4 months.
That must have been a ball. Dizzy was good to work for, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Nothing but fun.
Such a funny guy.
And it was during that time that we did those things with Sonny Stitt and Sonny Rollins that included After Hours and...
Oh, yeah.
Remember those duets, the album called Duets? Charlie Persip was playing with the band at that time, so he just pulled a few guys out of the big band and called Sonny Stitt and Rollins, and that's how that session came about. The other time I played with the big band was with Lionel Hampton about 2 or 3 years ago. George Wing was getting the band together for Lionel Hampton to front over in Europe, and so he called me for piano, and since everybody I knew had played with Lionel Hampton, I was the only one that had never played with Hamp. I said, this is my chance. So I said, okay, here I go. And I did it. So now I've also played with Hamp.
Was it fun?
Oh, yeah, it's fun. But you must have lots of stamina because Hamp plays long.
I know, and he rehearses long, too. He doesn't only play long.
He loves to play.
Doesn't he? He'll just spend a whole afternoon rehearsing.
He lives to play.
Yeah, I think there is one guy that would like to spend every minute of his day playing.
That's right.
Well, that's the way it should be.
And
really.
He wants you to play with him. So,
yes, that's true.
I mean, one night in the middle of France, we were playing a concert and the rain started to come down. I was playing on one of those Busendorfers. So the guy who had supplied the piano was trying to get Hamp to stop, you know, so he could cover his piano up. And the rain was coming down. This beautiful $65,000 piano was getting soaked. Finally, the guy came and just covered up and rolled the piano off the stage, you know, but then Hamp kept going.
He probably didn't even notice.
Probably not.
That's funny. No, that's just the way he is. Well, how about another solo from you?
Well, I have a little arrangement on Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Black American Spiritual.
Yeah, but it's funny. You don't often hear that played. I would love to hear it.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I don't know where I've heard a prettier arrangement of that piece.
Thank you.
It's lovely. Where did you first hear that? When you were... Your mother probably played it.
Yeah, probably so. I guess I've been hearing it all my life.
I guess nobody knows who wrote that. I mean, it's just something that everybody knows and nobody knows where it came from, one of those tunes.
Right.
That should be really played more. It's
a beautiful thing.
Do you do it regularly in your program?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I just finished a tour of Japan, you know, a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah?
Solo tour. And I played it every concert and everybody seemed to like it.
I would think so.
There'll be more talk and music in a moment with Marion McPartland and her guest, Ray Bryant. This is Piano Jazz from NPR Music.
How do you like solo playing as opposed to working with a trio or a big band? Do you like it better?
Well, it's a lot more work.
Yes, it is.
Because you have to do the whole thing yourself. You got to keep something going on every moment. You cannot let up at all. I like playing solo. I also like playing with a bass. Sometimes around the city, I just use a bass. I also like a trio. As you know... your approach is different in each context, right? Solo is one thing, and then when you have a bass, that makes it just a little easier. Well, actually, well, not easier, but there's a little less for you to do, a little less that you have to do.
You hope the bass player will be down there in the,
right.
the bottom end of the the bass,
right? So you can relax your left hand a little bit,
right?
With the drums and bass, then you sort of home free. Sometimes I just lay off a whole chorus. You can do things like that. But with a solo, you got to keep things going every minute, and to play a 2-hour concert, it can get kind of rough.
I know.
You know, your back can hurt when you're finished, and your feet can hurt from stomping. And
well, you play so hard and so strong. You know, you're one person that really keeps a strong rhythm going and very, very steadily. I think that's one of the perils of solo piano is that if you're not careful, you might start getting self-indulgent and maybe rush a little bit or miss a beat or something,
yeah.
To not do that, I think, is
it's easy to do because there's nobody for you to lose.
That's right.
Except yourself.
Yeah, but a lot of people seem to have a really metronomic stomping kind of a... I mean, I couldn't imagine you ever losing the tempo or losing a beat. I mean, it just seems like the strongest, most reliable beat I ever heard.
Well, thank you, but I've lost a couple throughout the years. A couple of beats laying out there somewhere.
Well, maybe we can try another duet.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
How about this one?
Thank you.
was lots of fun.
What did we do?
I don't know what we did. I'm not even going to think about it. But
well, that was pretty. The stuff you did on the end. I like that.
Like
pretty.
Someone in Love.
Yes.
I was trying to think. When I started playing it, I couldn't remember what the title was. Like Someone in Love by Jimmy Van Heusen, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
We were talking about keys before, and you said something about certain keys you like to play. And do you have real favorite keys?
Well, not favorite keys to play in so much as favorite keys not to play in.
Oh.
Like B, natural, things like that.
No, that is a tough one. But once in a while on a ballad, it's nice.
Yeah, and then also, like once in a while, a certain tune may sound good only in one key.
That's true. And it's strange. I haven't figured out why that is either. But it sets up a certain vibrations, I think.
Right.
Maybe.
And like D flat is not one of my favorite keys. I don't think many piano players like D flat.
D flat?
D flat.
I have to kind of disagree with you. I love that.
You like D flat?
I love that key.
Yeah.
For certain tunes, like Body and Soul. Could you imagine that in another key? Or do you do it in another key?
No. I mean, like for certain tunes, right?
Yeah.
But like just to play in, you know, D flat has always been sort of awkward for me.
So, speaking of hits, now you've had quite a few different ones in your time, but I think maybe the biggest one you ever had was Little Susie. Don't people ask you for that all the time?
They still do.
Like I'm going to do right now?
They still ask for it, and we still use it for a theme song. I don't play too much in a solo context, but however, I will try it. You know, that's more or less a rhythmic thing that the drums and the bass really lend a helping hand to that thing. But I'll play a few bars of it in solo.
Okay. Anyway. Thank you. I love the way you said you were just going to play a little bit of that. It got so exciting, and I wasn't sure if you looked at me to play the tune or you were just looking, but I couldn't help.
I was just looking, but playing. That was great.
It just felt so. It's a very infectious tune, and I just really had to get in it for a minute or two.
Well, you got it just right. Beautiful.
That's really a nice thing, and I can see why it would be a big hit. Well, I'm going to play one for you now.
Please do.
A slight change of pace here, and I thought I'd do something by Rodgers and Hart. This one's called "It Never Entered My Mind."
Oh, that's gorgeous. Beautiful, Marion, and I like that little shot chord on the end too. Yeah, that was it. F. I noticed that you were in the key of D flat too. Your favorite.
You know something? You know that I didn't even think of that when I was doing it. I didn't realize that I was going to do that. It just happened off the top of my head. Uh-huh. So
it sounds good in that key.
It does, but I don't know what the right key is. Or when I say the right key, I mean the one it was written in. I played it in a lot of different keys, but I just. Sometimes I find myself not where I thought I was going to be in keys. You know, sometimes I'll start a tune and I'll think, gee, this feels funny or different or something. I'll say to the bass player, what key do we do this in? And he'll say F minor and I'll be in C minor. Something. Sometimes.
Well, that's good because that shows that you're not bound you're not key bound, you know. I can consciously play anything in any key, you know, but there's just keys that I feel a little more comfortable in.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I guess Now, that particular tune, I think that's a very sad tune. It's got a sad lyric. I probably remember the lyrics of some of the ballads. You know, I think that maybe gives me an idea of how I want to play it.
You know, I've never played that tune. I've been listening to it all these years. You know, I never learned the melody, the correct melody. But after hearing you play it, it was so beautiful. I mean, I think I almost know the melody now.
Well, thank you. That's a nice compliment. Coming from you, that makes me feel very good. Thank you. Well, you know, as horrible as this is, we're at the end of the hour, and we've got the last number coming up. So before we do it, I'd like to tell you once again what a pleasure it is to see you and have you here and to be able to play duets with you and listen to you play. It's really a joy.
Well, Marion, thank you so much for having me. Oh, it's nice to get a chance to do this with you again. We did it once before, some years ago, right down in Washington at the Smithsonian.
At the Smithsonian, right.
Thanks so much for having me, and hope to see you back here again sometime.
Oh, maybe we can do some more things together. Let's hope. All right, let's see. Now I talked about doing a bebop tune, didn't I?
Right.
And this is it, Billy's Bounce. Okay. Why don't you start this one out?
Okay. Key of F.
Okay.